what your hopes are for the end of this year. What perhaps are your hopes for Christmas? Now, if this was an ordinary year, perhaps you would be excited, but maybe this year there may be an increased sense of dread or uncertainty as we wonder together what the next few weeks hold. Today, as we start Advent, we are aware that we start this countdown of Sundays before Christmas Day. On Tuesday, some of us might even have our Advent calendars ready to go the 1st of December. We look forward, perhaps, with a real mixture of emotions as we wonder what will come to pass. I wonder if you've ever counted down the days to anything else, perhaps for some of us a wedding, a significant birthday, a once-in-a-lifetime holiday or opportunity. Some of these things might have filled us with huge excitement. But perhaps too we have watched a ticking clock of expectations meeting our realities. We wondered if things were ever going to happen. Would it ever be our shot? Would positive news ever come? Would hopes come to pass? Perhaps we have dreaded the ever-creeping closer exam, health check, interview, appointment. We come this morning to the start of a new Advent season, quite unlike any other. As I said in our opening comments, 2020 has been some year. For many of us, it will leave its scars and questions. But into the chaos and uncertainties we carry this year, we come towards a season where we remember, despite chaos, Christ came. Into a world that felt dark, into a time of government regulations which sent Mary and Joseph on a journey towards Bethlehem, where isolation sent them into a stable to give birth to the most important of babies, where shepherds watched their sheep on lonely hilltops by night, where wise people would travel epic distances to find a source of hope. We come once more to a story that is not cute and cuddly, despite how many nativities we have seen or been a part of, but a story filled of pain, of loneliness, of scandal. This Advent, I want us to strip the story back, to see what God might have to say to each of us, how we might be reminded by looking at these different characters in the story of the promise-keeping God who breaks into reality, that we might know his hope and peace and love, that we would declare in confidence, Emmanuel, God is with us. He walks amongst us. He knows our pain. He knows our hopes today and indeed forevermore. Do not be afraid, the repeated words throughout the opening chapters of the Gospel. The opening words so often by the angels to those they encounter. I wonder this year if we need to hear that simple instruction. Do not be afraid, perhaps more than ever. Emmanuel, God is with us. Now, over the next couple of weeks in the run-up to Christmas and through it into the new year, we are going to look at some of these central characters in the Christmas story, some of whose stories we will know well, who we have no doubt considered and pondered many times before. But it is my prayer, if you join me in it, our prayer, that God might speak afresh to us, that he would take us to some detail perhaps we have not seen in the past, that he would reveal to us something new for this year through their stories, their responses to God's interaction in the world, and by what they reveal to us of the God we seek to worship and what he asks of us in return. Today we start our journey with Zechariah and Elizabeth, the cousin of Mary. We are told in Luke's Gospel, look with me, that they are righteous and blameless people. Of course, that doesn't mean that they're sinless, but it means that they are a couple who seek to follow God faithfully. Zechariah is a priest in the temple. Elizabeth, the daughter of a priest, they are a devout and faithful couple. They are, though, also without children. We are told Elizabeth is barren, and both are now advanced in years. Despite their well-known faithfulness to the God they serve, they have not been blessed with the gift of a child. A difficult situation throughout the ages of history for those who have wished to have children and have not been able to. But particularly difficult in these times, where to be without a child was to carry a sense of shame. No doubt, Zechariah and Elizabeth had prayed many prayers, hopes confessed, but there had been no answer yet, and they are now past the age for childbearing. Zechariah has been faithful in his service as a priest, and on the day our passage comes from, a great honour has fallen on him. For priests in these days would wait their entire lives for their one chance to offer the incense in the most holy part of the temple. We're told the priests are on a rota. They would serve only a couple of weeks a year in the temple. And from those on rota, a lot would be cast to find out who of the priests would get to burn the incense. Each priest would only be allowed to do this once in their lifetime. And many would never be lucky enough to get to fulfill this role. It was a privileged opportunity. A lifetime's wait had prepared Zechariah for the day on which we encounter him, going into the holiest part of the temple to burn the incense. He no doubt practiced it many a time at home. He dreamed of what it would be like to get to go into this special part of the temple, to burn the incense on behalf of God's people, to say the set prayers, and then exiting back to the place behind the curtain where the other priests and people remained and kept praying. Now on this day, as Zechariah approaches the altar of incense, he is no doubt praying the prayers of God's people that the promised Messiah would soon come. Israel's deliverer would be revealed, that God would finally set his people free. Remember with me, it's been 400 years since the last prophet has spoken. Yet God's people throughout that time have continued to wait, to pray, to hope. Here is Zechariah praying, preparing to offer the incense, when an angel appears. The angel Gabriel, no less, at the right side of the altar. Now, Zechariah is terrified. I think that's an understatement. I'm sure we all would be. This wasn't part of the rehearsal. This wasn't part of the plan. This was not what he had practiced for. And into his fear, Gabriel speaks, "Do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Many will rejoice at your son's birth. Your child will be great before the Lord. He will call many to get ready for the Lord." And we might know that baby goes on to be John the Baptist, the one who calls many hearts to repentance, who declares in the desert to prepare the way for the coming Messiah, a cousin of Jesus's. But back to today's story, because Zechariah can't believe it. He responds with shock and doubt. "How shall I know this to be? My wife and I are advanced in years." He effectively says it's impossible, whilst asking for some sort of proof. Gabriel responds strongly. He's been sent from God with a message from heaven to declare the good news to Zechariah of not just a birth for him, but that the promised one from God is on his way. But the angel says, "Because you've doubted, Zechariah, you will be mute, unable to speak until the day the promise comes to pass." Now those waiting outside the holiest place are starting to wonder what's going on. Zechariah is taking a long time. How is it taking so long? Most people, when they had this duty, the priest would go in and do it quickly and get out for fear of taking too long, but Zechariah goes on and on and on. They're starting to wonder if he's okay. Zechariah comes, though, from behind the curtain and is unable to speak. They realise something extraordinary has happened. They wonder, perhaps he has seen a vision. And although Zechariah tries to make signs to explain to them what has happened, they are left in the dark until a few months later. It's some story of an encounter, but why start our Advent journey here, 2,000 years later? What might God want to say to us through this ageless story? Well, firstly, God is a God who breaks into human lives with his story and purpose. See, God picked an important moment in the priestly life of Zechariah to make his divine move. We will see in the weeks to come that God often breaks into moments unannounced, without warning, be it in Mary's kitchen or the shepherd's hillside, or even here in the most holy parts of the temple, in the special moments that Zechariah had waited his whole life for. But here, as Jesus will do time and time again in the Gospels, he comes into a moment of religious significance and redefines it completely. As Zechariah goes to offer prayers on behalf of Israel for its coming deliverer, God breaks in with a promise for God's people, but also with special significance for the heart cries of Zechariah and his wife. In this high moment of priestly ministry, God begins to work in a fresh way to redeem humankind by this revealing of the sending of the forerunner to the one who would take away sin from the world, who would deliver God's people. In all of Zechariah's preparation for this moment, there was no expectation that this would happen. Where might God break into our lives? Where are we trying to control and figure things out, make our plans, and not giving God space to move and speak to our lives, to our purposes, to our hopes, to our dreams? Where might we encounter God today? Where is he breaking in? How is he speaking to us? Would we open our ears and our eyes and our hearts to him? What would he find us doing if the angel were to visit us today? Secondly, though, God is a God who hears and answers our prayers. Elizabeth and Zechariah were faithful people. Zechariah took his priestly role seriously. We are told they were righteous and blameless. They would have prayed for the deliverance of God's people and been dedicated in their service. But they were also frustrated and burdened by their inability to have a child. Thousands of prayers must have been offered. Rivers of tears wept in the years spent hoping and waiting and longing for God to answer. In this moment of special priestly significance, the furthest thing, no doubt, from Zechariah's mind were specific prayers for Elizabeth to conceive. For as he reveals in his response, he believes it's too late. But yet, what is the angel's greeting to him? Do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Elizabeth will have a son. Why? Because as we wait on the Lord, he works his purposes out in step with his plan and in his timing. Our prayers join in with the purposes of God when he says it is so. For as Elizabeth and Zechariah have prayed and waited and hoped, God has heard. God will respond not as they imagined or even dared to dream. They prayed for a child, yet God gave them a prophet, an essential player in God's plan for the world, at just the right time for the unfolding of God's plan. God's ways are set to his clock. They are often filled with things that cause us to wonder and lament as we wait. God's timing, though different from ours, is infinitely wiser. The creator of the universe knows what he's doing, but that doesn't mean that it isn't painful or frustrating as we wait, as we dare to hope, to keep praying. Elizabeth and Zechariah prayed and hoped, frustrated in the longing. How are we feeling the same today? What today are you praying for? What prayers feel as if they're unheard or unanswered? Can I encourage you today to keep praying? Keep crying out to your Heavenly Father. He loves you. He hears your prayers. What are you hoping for? Who are you putting that hope in? Philippa read to us from the prophecies of Isaiah, beautiful promises of God for a weary and faint people. Perhaps some of us this morning are weary from waiting. We're worn out by frustration. We've cried all the tears we have to cry for the things we long and hope for, but yet have not come to pass. Perhaps we too carry a shame of expectation, a weight of unfulfilled dreams and hopes. What is the promise and comfort from Scripture? Philippa read to us, God is the everlasting God, the creator of all things, the one whose understanding is unsearchable, the one who gives power to those who are faint, the one who increases the strength of those who feel weak and powerless, the one who promises to renew the strength of those who wait on and in him. For he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, walk and not be faint. Where today are you weary? Where are you feeling powerless? Perhaps it's in a battle with an illness. Maybe it's a situation with a loved one or a relative. Maybe it's in the prayer for a relationship. Maybe it's in the prayer for the hope to have a child. Maybe it's in the seeking of a direction for the future. Maybe it's for a breakthrough at work. Maybe it's in a resolution for a difficult relationship with a child, a partner, somebody at work. This morning we bring our hopes, our frustrations, our longings to the promise-keeping God, the one who hears our prayers, the one who promises us to strengthen us when we feel we can bear it no longer. Would we trust afresh that God is working his purposes out? Give him your frustrations. Ask him for his peace, for the ability to endure as we wait upon him. God heard the cries, the prayers of Zechariah and Elizabeth. He knew their hopes, their frustrations that they carried in their hearts. And in God's way, in his timing, he answered the prayers of his people in the most extraordinary way. Sometimes a roadblock is not so much a dead end as a fresh turn in the road, in the unveiling of God's plan for your life and those around you. We pray today for the strength to endure, the patience to wait, the courage and obedience to respond when God calls us to step out in and with him. Do not be afraid are the first words from Angel Gabriel. Zechariah was terrified to see the angel by the altar. Mary and the shepherds will require the same words when they each have their own visit by the angels. Where today do you need to hear the same words from God to you? Do not be afraid. God has heard your prayer. Do not be afraid. God is with you. Do you know in Scripture there are 365 fear nots? And do not be afraid for every day of the year. Who amongst us today needs to be reminded the King of Heaven is with you? He knows the fears and burdens you carry. He longs to take the worry from you. Fears for the future, fears for exams, fears for jobs, fears for health. God responds, do not be afraid. I am with you. I have heard your prayers. Trust me. I've got you. Lastly, how are we to respond to God's word and his promises today? Zechariah demands proof and a sign. and he's silenced until his son is born. His unbelief leaves him unable to speak. Angel Gabriel effectively says, "You shut up a while. Just watch God work this out. His promise will come to pass." Where might we need to stop talking in order to hear what God is saying? Where might we need to stop trying to work out our own solutions with our own understandings of what we think is possible, and instead take God at his word? Where do our questions, our objections, our worries, our fears, our need for control mount up and stop us from seeing God's will amongst us, his work coming to pass, his promises being fulfilled? Where do we need to stop planning every detail and trust instead in God's purposes? Where is our humanity getting in the way of God's divinity? Where do we need to hold up our hands, admit we don't know best, and trust that the Almighty is working his will out? Zechariah was shocked, but Elizabeth praised. "The Lord has done for me good things. When he looked on me to take away," she says, "my reproach from people." Elizabeth is not bitter. She's not responding like a victim who has been unheard by God. No, instead, when the promise comes, when the burden is removed, she rejoices as the object of God's personal concern. She praises the one who saw her, who knows her. And later we're told in the chapter, at the birth of baby John, many will rejoice with her. As the baby is named, Zechariah's tongue is loose. His first words are in the naming of his son. His name is John. A cry of worship unto the Lord. John means the Lord is gracious. His first words out of the silence: Yahweh is gracious. John is his name. The prayer is answered both for the child, but also for the next step towards the coming of the promised Messiah. God is gracious to his people. That grace extends to us today. How will we each respond to a God of grace and love? With disbelief or with praise and worship? Today, will we trust our hopes, our hearts, our frustrations to him? Will you believe the promise-keeping God will come through for you? Perhaps this Advent, as we focus on watching and waiting, will we trust the things that we are still watching and waiting for to the one who keeps his promises? Will we look afresh to the God who comes through for us, who the one never lets us down, who hears our prayers, who knows our hearts, who longs for us to find in him all that it is we are searching for? Do not be afraid. "The Lord has heard your prayers," said Gabriel to Zechariah. God says the same to us today. Wait upon the Lord. He will renew your strength. He keeps his promises. How will we respond today?